This is your host, Danny, and this is Word Power from English Plus Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the Statue of Liberty's roots. And of course, we're going to learn 10 new words from the context of our story for today. Let me tell you about these 10 words. These words are prominent, originate, execute, classic, personify, proportion, implore, refurbish, restoration, and vermilion. So these 10 words, you would like to learn about them in the context of our story for today, which will talk about the Statue of Liberty's roots. Join me in this episode and we will learn about all that. Before we do this, just let me remind you that there's a link in the description of the episode that will take you to my website, to the custom post I created for this episode, where you can practice the things you're learning. Just go there, practice, and take your English to the next level, because learning vocabulary is not just about understanding the meaning of the words, even in context. You will need to practice to make these words part of your permanent vocabulary bank. And don't forget about the second link in the description that will take you to my Patreon page, where you can become a patron, support this learning community, and of course, get some of the benefits that come with becoming a patron, like premium episodes, premium series, and premium PDF worksheets like the one you get with this episode. You will get a PDF premium worksheet that includes everything you need to practice the words, and the second part of the worksheet will include practice for the previous 4 Word Power episodes so that you never forget what you learned even in the previous episodes. And now, without further ado, let's start with our episode for today, the Statue of Liberty's roots. On an island in New York Harbor stands a prominent symbol of the United States, the Statue of Liberty. This magnificent monument did not originate in the United States, however. The Statue of Liberty was a gift from the people of France to mark the 100-year anniversary of American independence. In 1869, sculptor Frederick Auguste Bartholdi began to execute his concept for the monument. Bartholdi chose the look of classic Greek and Roman figures. He envisioned Liberty as a strong and proud figure, one who was able to personify not only the majestic Greek goddesses of the past, but also the working men and women of the present. Liberty's mountainous proportions made it necessary for Bartholdi to first build a small plaster model of the huge statue that eventually would rise over 111 feet. The index finger alone had a span of 7 feet 11 inches. Finally, in 1884, the work was finished, and Liberty was packed into 214 crates and sent to New York City. Only one problem stood in the way. While the French had raised $400,000 to build the statue, New York had not secured the funds to build its foundation. It was not until a New York newspaper implored people for donations that money became available. Boys and girls sent spare change. Small donations by the thousands began to pour in. Finally, there was enough money to build the foundation, and on October the 28th, 1886, Americans celebrated the unveiling of the Statue of Liberty. In the years that followed, the Statue of Liberty welcomed thousands of immigrants. In the 1980s, when the statue was found to have serious structural problems, people again rallied to restore the weak structure and refurbish the tarnished monument. During a full-scale restoration, the iron skeleton was reinforced with 300,000 additional rivets and painted a bright vermilion red to preserve the finish. Then Liberty was once again covered with copper. Today, the Statue of Liberty continues to stand as a symbol of freedom for those arriving on the United States shores. So that was our story about the Statue of Liberty's origins or roots. I hope you learned something you didn't know about the Statue of Liberty, and now, more importantly, we're going to learn about 10 words I used in this story. We're going to see what they mean in context. And let me tell you one more time about these 10 words. These are prominent, originate, execute, classic, personify, proportion, Implore, Refurbish, Restoration, and Vermilion. So without further ado, let's start with our very first word, prominent. P-R-O-M-I-N-E-N-T, prominent. Now let's take a look at how we use that in context. We said, on an island in New York Harbor stands a prominent symbol of the United States, the Statue of Liberty. What does it mean when we say something is prominent? Something that is prominent, it is very noticeable, or is an important part of something else. Now here, obviously, the Statue of Liberty is very noticeable, and it is an important part of New York and the United States as a whole. So it is outstanding, noticeable, eye-catching, and of course, important. So that was our first word, prominent. Let's take a look at the second word, originate. O-R-I-G-I-N-A-T-E, originate. How did we use that in context? We said, this magnificent monument did not originate in the United States, however. What does it mean to originate? Is it related to original? Well, not exactly. Originate is where it comes from. When something originates or when someone originates it, it begins to happen or exists. So it's just like saying where this thing comes from. Of course, we don't usually use it for people. We don't say, I originate from, because nobody made us, or at least no other human made us. So here, originate, we use it for things more. Okay, so here, when something originates or when someone originates it, it begins to happen or exist. That was our second word. Let's take a look at the next word, execute. E-X-E-C-U-T-E, execute. How did we use that in context? We said in 1869, sculptor Frederick Auguste Bartholdi began to execute his concept for the monument. Now, to execute something, especially a plan like this one, it means just to do it, to carry it out. When someone executes a work of art like Bartholdi, they make or produce it, especially using an idea as a basis. Now, here we know that Bartholdi used some classic ideas from classic Greek and Rome. And that is our very next word, by the way, classic. And you might say this word is easy. Yes, it is easy when we talk about classical music, for example. But remember, that is classical music, not classic music. Classic, we use it to talk about a classic movie, a classic song, a timeless movie, a timeless song, something that stands the test of time, something that people are still listening to or still watching in the case of a movie. But here, classic is a little bit more specific because we're talking specifically about Greece and Rome. And classic here comes from the word classics. Classics actually is the study of the ancient Greek and Roman civilizations, especially their languages, literature, and philosophy, and of course, their art. So that is what we mean by classic. When we use Greek and Roman figures, if we don't add classic to it, it will be like referring to modern Rome or Rome in other eras. But no, here when we say classic Greek and Roman figures, we're talking about a specific time in the history of Rome and in the history of Greece, of course. Ancient Greece and ancient Rome. That's the meaning of classic in our context here. All right? So that was our fourth word. Now let's move on and talk about the next word, personify. P-E-R-S-O-N-I-F-Y. Personify. Now, how did we use this in context? We said he envisioned, here we're talking about Bartholdi, of course, he envisioned liberty as a strong and proud figure, one who was able to personify not only the majestic Greek goddesses of the past, but also the working men and women of the present. So what does it mean here to personify? If you say that someone personifies a particular thing or quality, you mean that they seem to be a perfect example of that thing, or to have that quality to a very large degree, like to embody something, to represent something. And here, that's what Bartholdi wanted. Bartholdi wanted this Statue of Liberty to represent people, not only goddesses of the past, but also working men and women, to personify. All right? So that was our word, personify. Now for the next one, proportion. P-R-O-P-O-R-T-I-O-N, proportion. How did we use that in context? We said liberty's, well, I'm talking about the statue, of course, liberty's mountainous proportions made it necessary for Bartholdi to first build a small plaster model of the huge statue that eventually would rise over 111 feet. So we're talking about the proportions of the statue. And we said mountainous proportions. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the scale, the size. And we use this word proportion, especially when we talk about a very big thing. If you refer to the proportions of something, you are referring to its size, basically. But usually when this is extremely large. And for a statue, of course, the Statue of Liberty is one of the largest statues in the world. So we can use the word proportion, and actually we use mountainous proportions, very big. So that is our word. We still have a couple of words. Don't go away. Stay with me. We're going to learn them together now. And the very next word is implore. I-M-P-L-O-R-E. How did we use that in context? Now, we said it was not until a New York newspaper implored people for donations that money became available. Now, the problem is that the statue arrived, but the statue needed a pedestal, needed a foundation, and there was no money for the foundation. Obviously, when the statue arrived with no foundation, the statue would stay in the crates it arrived in. So, here, a New York newspaper implored people for donations, begged people for donations. Please give us donations. We don't want to leave those crates in the harbor. We want to put the Statue of Liberty together. But we need some money to build the foundation. They implored. If you implore someone to do something, you ask them to do it in a forceful but emotional way. You beg them. All right? And actually, it worked. Because people started to donate, even children started to send money until there was enough money to build the foundation and obviously put the whole statue together. Now for the next word, refurbish. R-E-F-U-R-B-I-S-H, refurbish. Let's take a look at how we use that in context. We said in the 1980s, when the statue was found to have serious structural problems, people again rallied to restore the weak structure and refurbish the tarnished monument. Because the monument was there for a very long time, and it was not in a good state. They found some serious structural problems. So the famous statue was not in a good shape, and it needed renovating, restoring, repairing, refurbishing. That's the word. To refurbish a building or room means to clean it and decorate it and make it more attractive or better equipped. And here for the statue, it was not just about the looks, it was about the structure as well. They needed to reinforce the structure so that nothing happens to the statue and it can last another 100 or even 1,000 years. So that was the meaning of our word refurbish. Refurbish the tarnished monument. Now for our next word, restoration, which is a word that is very close to refurbish. Let's take a look at how we use that in context. We said during a full-scale restoration, the iron skeleton was reinforced with 300,000 additional rivets and painted a bright vermilion red to preserve the finish. Now actually, here we have two words, restoration and vermilion. Now here, when we say restoration, what is the meaning of restoration? Well, it's simply the act of restoring or rebuilding something to a former or original condition. So you bring it back to its former glory. You have an old building, you restore the building, you bring it back to its former glory. That doesn't mean that you demolish the building and you build a new one. That's not restoration. Restoration, you preserve the building, especially if it is historically significant, just like the Statue of Liberty here. So they don't just demolish the statue and build a new one. That's not restoration. Restoration is you keep the original one, but you make it stronger. And sometimes even better, in a way. But you don't take anything from the original spirit of this work of art. That is the meaning of restoration, and that happens all the time with works of art. Whether they are monuments, paintings, or even buildings. We have restoration happening all the time to preserve those pieces of history. And within the same sentence, we use the word vermilion. V-E-R-M-I-L-I-O-N. What is the meaning of vermilion? Well, vermilion is simply used to describe things that are bright red in color. And here, we're talking about a bright vermilion red to preserve the finish. So, it is simply red, but it's not only red. It's bright red in color, like flaming, glowing. That is vermilion. So, with that word, we come to the end of today's episode. We talked about 10 words. Don't forget, I will remind you with these words again so that you know what you learned in this episode. The words were prominent, originate, execute, classic, personify, proportion, implore, refurbish, restoration, and vermilion. And we talked about all these words in the context of our story for today, the Statue of Liberty's roots. I hope you like the story and you like those words. You learned something new. That's what I want. Don't forget, if you want to take your English to the next level, use the link you can find in the description. Go to the custom post I created on my website, EnglishPlusPodcast.com. There you will have a chance to practice these words and to cement those words in your active vocabulary bank. And for my patrons, there's also the PDF practice worksheet that I will share with you on Patreon, so you can get it from there. There you will have more practice, crossword puzzles, word searches, etc. And you will have a review part of the previous 4 Word Power episodes. With that being said, I would like to thank you very much for listening to another episode from English Plus Podcast. This is your host, Danny. I will see you next time.